Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
You are now listening to the Philly Pod,
a Philadelphia sports podcast.
Well, looks like hell froze over, Eagles fans. We have, I said last podcast, this is the last time I'm going to say it. We have officially turned the page. I think we've turned several pages now.
Oh, yeah.
And the offseason has literally just begun. The calendar year for the 2024 season is official now, right? I mean, the legal tampering period has begun. If you've been living under a rock, you are not aware of that. What a wild 24 hours it has been, obviously, for the Philadelphia Eagles. We are here to break all of the signings or agreements that we know of so far right now, and boy, is there some big names, several big names, I guess we could say. One really big name that is now a Philadelphia Eagle. I never thought in a million years I'd see the day, but here we are. Ladies and gentlemen, I got it. This is the Philly Pod. My name is Stephen Conrad Jr., obviously joined by the creator and the host of the show, Victor Williams. Howie Roseman paid top dollar for a running back. Can you believe it?
I can't. I still can't believe it. 24 hours removed from the whole thing. I'm surprised we carved out enough time to even do this podcast. It's been so frantic over the last 24 hours. And obviously we'll talk about all the moves through the duration of the show. But Saquon, the Eagles signing Saquon Barkley is just proof that, like, the couple people I've spoken with, like, throughout this process, or actually leading up to free agency in general, has said, like, how he's going to strongly reconsider his philosophy. And I thought that they were talking about, like, linebacker, like, you know, more specifically, obviously because of the subpar performance on defense last season, and more so towards the end of the year. Never did I think that they were going to invest in running back at $12.6 million a year with the former Giants running back Saquon Barkley signing with the Philadelphia Eagles on a three-year contract worth $37.75 million, can get escalators that would pay him $46.75 million in total, which also includes $26 million fully guaranteed. Steven, this deal makes Saquon Barkley the fourth highest-paid running back in the entire NFL, behind Christian McCaffrey, Jonathan Taylor, and Alvin Kamara.
You said fourth?
Fourth, behind Taylor, McCaffrey, and Alvin Kamara. And I've been trying to find the words over the last day to just exemplify how it feels to even see something like this come to fruition for Philadelphia, a team that has been near bottom of the league over the last half decade in investing in the linebacker position. I mean, they won the Super Bowl with Garrett Blunt and Jay Ajayi that were both rentals at the time. And yeah, obviously you look at the last, you know, however long Super Bowl winners, and you don't need an elite running back to win a Super Bowl, but man, this move puts the Eagles offense over the top. It goes without saying with Jalen Hurts, Devontae Smith, A.J. Brown, Dallas Goedert, and now you add Saquon into the mix. And the biggest takeaway I have from this, Steven, is that the Eagles are going to commit to running the football, because you don't pay a man nearly $13 million a year to not run the ball. They're going to commit to running the ball. They're going to lean on Saquon Barkley, who's just turned 27 years old. He'll be 30 at the end of this contract, so I know that dreaded 30-year-old threshold of running backs and, oh my God, when does the decline start? And there is some concern, obviously, with the contract. There's some risk involved, and we'll talk about that here in a minute. But I think that's the biggest message I got, is that Howie is willing to look himself in the mirror and says, I have to think outside the box here. I have to get out of my comfort zone. I have to do something that is going to take this offense to the next level. And you didn't think that was possible when you already have AJ and Jalen and Devontae in place. And DeAndre Swift was a very good running back who got paid handsomely, by the way, by the Chicago Bears for his three-year deal that's going to pay him $24 million. Very good payday for him. And you didn't think the offense could get much better when you add him, but now you have Saquon in the mix. And the sky's the limit for this offense. You have Kellen Moore now leading the charge, and it's going to be a very fun year in 2024, as long as all the pieces, you know, fit together, as long as Nick Sirianni stays out of his own way. He's kind of, you know, you see all the graphics from all these media outlets saying who's going to stop this Eagles offense. Sirianni's the one that can stop it if he you know gets in.
Well, he ain't calling plays, guys. So
he's not calling plays. So he'll be hands off. He'll be away from the offense. But man, I didn't think Saquon would. I thought he would get maybe 11 million dollars per year maximum. But this running back market, 1 year removed from running backs not getting paid, backs are getting paid this year, and Saquon is leading the charge. And well, for the Eagles to pay him, it is surreal. It's a surreal feeling.
it's crazy you say that, because really this whole domino running back effect started with DeAndre Swift, right? He was the first one to get paid, and he got over $8 million per year, which I guess I don't even think we. You know, we touched on this for several pods heading into the offseason. I mean, both of our preferences were to bring him back at the right price. I don't think we saw, I don't even know if we saw $8 million per year for him, maybe a little under that. I'm not sure. I can't remember what we said.
I predicted six. Like a 3 year.
Which is what Miles got about 5 or 6, right, per year?
He got five-ish per year. Yeah. So 4 years, here's 25 the thing. Miles got.
People are there are opinions up the ass, as you could imagine, because Saquon Barkley is a household name, arguably the biggest free that they signed the biggest free agent available, right? Like, will we like it's Saquon Barkley?
Kirk was ranked as the top free agent, but Saquon was too after Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. But it's just crazy. Like, obviously, you highlighted the Eagles' history, the way they run things. I guess we should say Howie Roseman when it comes to the running back position. You know what? We set the running back market. We said it. We've started to set it now for 2 years because Miles Sanders had a career year. Great, great season for Miles Sanders. I'm not denying the talent that he is. DeAndre Swift, who I think is just a hair above Miles Sanders in terms of talent. Do you want to argue durability? I don't know. That's a tough one. But I just think he's a hair better. And, you know, he went out and got paid too. He got paid. I mean, he set the market himself. Former Eagles player set the market himself. And then, you know, when you see that news, obviously we knew there was at least some rumors. Like, yesterday was madness. So obviously we're all hovering around our phones and, you know, just waiting for anything to drop. You're hearing all this Saquon buzz to the Eagles. The Texans are a team. I'm not sure who else you want to throw in there. And you're like, well, damn, if they didn't want to pay Swift that, knowing Howie, there's no way he's going to pay a couple extra million for Saquon. Like, there's just no way in hell he does. Somehow, some way, they got a deal done. And there's something I want to say about this. So, I don't know about you, man, but heading into this offseason, I'm not saying the mindset for the Eagles and Howie Roseman should have been to punt on offense. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying work the margins. I think you and me, one of the first things we both agreed to when we started doing these offseason pods about a month or two ago when the season ended for this team officially, was we talked about the wide receiver 3 position, maybe running back, but not to this extent. You know, maybe drafting some guys in the trenches. Never in a million years did I think they would go out there and make a ginormous splash move on the strong suit of the team. Even with Jason Kelce retiring, this team is still loaded on offense. You can take away the Saquon Barkley signing. They are still loaded on offense. You throw them in there. I mean, on paper. And this is all we can do. Everybody's for all the people out there that are going to say we'll see how they perform on paper. I'm not sure there's a more talented offense in the NFL than the one that the Philadelphia Eagles have.
It's tough to argue against that. Like you said, on paper at the very least, and it is like I thought there was when I first started hearing the rumors about it and I started poking around. And I thought it was just a bunch of smoke. I was like, oh, like the Texans.
I started to think that, too. I started to think it was a leverage tactic by either Barkley's agent or the Eagles, too, to get somebody. I mean, Howie is a guru. I don't mean to cut you off, but I wouldn't have been shocked in the slightest if it was like a tactic, even by Howie, to get teams to like try and overpay and set the running back market themselves. So that I started talking myself into Howie just going after, like, who was it? Zach Moss got signed last night for whatever. I felt something like that was going to happen.
Yeah. I thought it was going to be like a Kenneth Gainwell. They'll sign AJ Dillon. They'll draft somebody, and it would be one of those deals. But I thought the Texans were using the Eagles as like leverage and trying to like lower the asking price, because obviously
the Eagles of all teams, the one team that never pays for running backs,
the team that pays running backs.
What are you doing?
They're getting used for leverage. But Houston was obviously the biggest threat to signing Saquon Barkley. You have $70 million in cap space. You have all these stars on rookie deals: CJ Stroud, Tank Dell, Nico Collins. You have the money to pay a guy like that, and you can. a young quarterback's best friend as a running back, and he made a lot of sense to go in there. But I really think the motivation to stick it to the Giants, a team that showed that they didn't value him as much as other teams would, as much as he gave them over those first six seasons, I think he kind of wants to stick it to the Giants. I think we're getting a running back like revenge season. Aaron Jones just signed with the Vikings to play the Packers twice a year after they just signed Josh Jacobs, got rid of Aaron Jones. So I think we're getting a little running back revenge in this.
I stand with these running backs. I'm hyped for them. I'm happy for them.
I do. Hey, you wanna prove your worth and show the team that, hey, you should have paid me. I'm all about it. And for him to come to Philadelphia and want to do that to the Giants, you know, twice a year, I'm all about it. And this is the biggest contract the Eagles have handed running back since, well, I guess DeMarco Murray, but Howie Roseman wasn't involved. He wasn't in a decision-making role when that happened. That was all Chip Kelly. But since LeSean McCoy, I think that was like 5 years, $45 million at the time when he paid LeSean McCoy. But I will say
and
this.
And they paid him that because he was the best in the NFL.
Exactly. There was no reason not
in-house,
to.
In-house, too. They drafted him.
In-house, drafted him in the second round, you know, developed him and everything. But I will say this, Steven. If this, for whatever reason, doesn't work out, Barkley crashes the bed, they have to get out of this deal, this will be the last time Howie ever.
Oh, my God, yeah.
This will be the last time he ever does it if this backfires on him. Howie's like, I'm going to do it. Everybody's been begging us to finally sign a running back. I'm going to do it. And praise God, it better work. And if it doesn't, you will never, ever see me pay a running back substantial money ever again. On the DeAndre Swift front, the Eagles did attempt to bring him back.
Yeah,
I heard before legal tampering, before free agency even started, they tried to bring him back. But Swift smartly said he wanted to test his market first, see how the market was going to turn out before agreeing to any deals. And he went and got higher than his projected market. He was projected about $6 million.
He
$5
made
million.
Out big yesterday, man, because he got paid Swift, and he's going to a situation where he's needed.
Yeah, well, we assume Chicago's going. Well, we don't know where Justin Fields is going anymore.
Yeah, but he's needed. Nonetheless, they're going to have a quarterback who could use some help. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he
and obviously, like you could say, he's needed in Philly too. But I don't even know if "need" is the word. Like, you know, we you know how we do things over here, and you know how loaded we are on offense. It's a little different situation.
Yeah. Regardless if it's Caleb or Justin Fields, he'll be a good fit over there. And the Eagles are going to be, well, before Saquon, they were going to be known for, hey, if you want to get paid, go to the Eagles, run behind that defensive line for a year, you can go and get paid whatever you want. At that point, DeAndre Swift got paid, Miles Sanders got paid, and that Saquon came here. And obviously,
you know what, I can't remember exactly what happened to him. I think injuries just caught up to him, but Jay Ajayi probably could have been another candidate for that same exact thing if he never got hurt.
You know what I mean? If you want to get paid as a back, come to Philadelphia.
Man, he was fun, man.
Line.
I really enjoyed the way he played.
It was a good time. And man, we're seeing all the jokes about Jason Kelce looking at the Spider-Man suit now that they've signed Saquon Barkley. Kelsey's probably thinking to himself, y'all couldn't have told me this, that you were even going to pursue him. And I would have stuck around for
another season. Can I get something off my chest
really
quickly?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
You've done your job, obviously, highlighting everything that's gone into the situation, not just from the Saquon standpoint, but the running back market. And you've mentioned some things that have happened in the Eagles' past. And I see a lot of people bringing this up. I see Giants fans saying things, but even like Giants media members who I do respect have said some interesting things, which I will touch on. But I'm here to tell you this will not be a DeMarco Murray situation. I'm not saying that Saquon's going to come here and be like the Christian McCaffrey. Like, our hope is he could be like Christian McCaffrey, but I mean, that guy was in the MVP conversation, so it's a little unfair. I don't know if unfair is the word, but it's a lot to ask. If he can just come here and be a high-level, stay healthy, because he's so talented, I mean, that's all you can really ask for. But it won't be a DeMarco Murray situation for this reason and this reason alone. DeMarco Murray was great. He was a great player. But he played behind the best offensive line in the NFL. And he got paid in large part because of that. And he came here, and we don't need to explain the rest. Saquon played behind one of the worst his entire career, he's played behind one of the worst offensive lines in the NFL. I know you have the stat. You're ready to spill it off for us. Not just that, he's had Daniel Jones, the coaching situation over there. It's been a coaching carousel, coordinators. I mean, I don't really need to run down. You guys know the New York Giants, arguably one of the laughing stocks of the NFL at this point. You know what I mean? No stability over there. And I see a lot of Giants fans saying
who was
that
the best quarterback he played with, like over the hill Eli Manning in his first couple of years. That was the best quarterback.
Like, that's the point. Like, what are we talking about here? And I see a lot of Giants fans are doing some revisionist stuff, which kind of disgusts me, if I'm being honest with you, because it's pointless. They're saying it was a mess up from the start drafting a running back second overall, and I mean,
he was worth that pick. He was definitely worth that selection.
I don't know what to tell you. And the argument against that from Giants people I'm seeing is, well, you know, what are we, a 4.5, 5, 6 win team every year? I think we can win the same amount of games without Saquon Barkley. I don't know what to say to that other than the Eagles, who finished the season losing, what was it, 6 of 7 games, got blown out in the wild card round. You insert Saquon here, and I guarantee you, I haven't looked at the sports books, but I guarantee you they've climbed up. They've climbed up the rankings as far as teams to win the Super Bowl, represent the NFC, whatever it is. I guarantee it. I guarantee it.
I haven't looked at the recent odds. I say they have to be in it among the
When
NFC
in NFL history has a running back ever carried an awful organization? It never happens.
Yeah, it doesn't happen. You can't bank on a running back to save
you can't
your
bank
franchise.
On a running like not they're not wrong for taking him number 2. They're wrong for drafting Daniel Jones, a quarterback from Duke University, top 15, and paying him. You guys are stupid. You're ignorant. You're embarrassing. I'd be sick
if I was
a
quarterback out of Duke in general.
What are we doing?
Why are you taking football players out of Duke to begin?
Stupid.
To begin with?
It's so dumb.
As far as how putrid the Giants' offensive line has been last season, they had the 31st. They were ranked 31st in run block win rate.
Thank you. There's the stat.
And last year, the Eagles, despite not using Swift to his fullest capabilities, they were first in run block win rate last season. So, and a lot of people are saying we didn't even use Swift, you know, to his fullest. Yeah. That makes you think we're going to get the most out of Saquon.
And Jalen was banged up. We couldn't use his mobility as to our strength. Up.
And it's just like this contract, them paying them shows them that they're going to ride Saquon Barkley. Pause. They're going to run. They're going to ride him to the ground. They're going to run him to the ground. Saquon Barkley as they well, not into the ground, not like Dallas did.
I don't think he's going to get as many carries as you think he is. I think he's going to be.
He's going to get
25
carries
a lot. Yeah,
but they're going again. Yeah, they're going to use him a lot.
I tell you what, though, we've wanted that power back, that hammer, right?
Yeah,
to run the clock out at the end of games.
Swift. Get a power guy in here, people were saying.
Well, you got it all in one now.
You have it all.
The Eagles lost a lot of games last year. I feel like something you and me said this all season. I mean, you know, we can sit here and talk about play calling, coordinators, all this stuff, execution, they're not throwing the ball over the middle, blah, blah, blah. Something that stood out to both of us was their inability to close out games because they just, for whatever reason, couldn't run the ball, couldn't execute, grind the clock out. You want to know what else? They did not throw the ball. There was no passing game whatsoever with the running backs involved. It was nothing. It did not exist. Nothing. And DeAndre Swift is a pretty good pass catcher. Kenny G, I mean, you know, he can get the job done.
Survived.
I feel like he caught a lot of passes the season prior, I feel like. So
it's funny that you brought up the McCaffrey thing earlier because there are some parallels to that, albeit the 49ers deal was a trade. But he was off injured. You know, people saw a lot of risk heading into that, and he essentially transformed that offense. The Eagles obviously have a lot of skill players on offense, and Saquon can come in here and do some of the things that Christian McCaffrey does. I'm not saying he's Christian McCaffrey because he's more powerful than him. I think Christian McCaffrey is a better route runner than him, better receiver than him. But Barkley is a sound route runner in his own right, and he's going to help out this offense a whole lot. He's had 40-plus receptions in each of the last 3 seasons, Saquon Barkley.
Wow.
So I think he's going to add such an element to this offense. When you get to the second level with Saquon Barkley, he is gone. I mean, the defenses don't know what to do with him. The issue was that Saquon hardly ever got to the second level behind that offensive line. This dude was fighting for his life behind that offensive line for his entire career.
This is why the DeMarco Murray comparison's lousy.
And he still accumulated over 2,200 yards in the last 2 seasons on the ground alone, fighting behind that offensive line. They gave him no holes, gave him no lanes. I can't wait to see what Barkley does when he doesn't have to create his own holes through that offensive line. When he has just open running lanes. Now, obviously, Kelsey is gone, but you assume Juergens is going to be okay sliding over to that role. They just extended Landon Dickerson. We'll talk about that in a second. But with Saquon, who won't have to dodge, who won't have to juke 2 people before he even gets back to the line of scrimmage, it's going to be amazing to watch. Now, obviously, with the risk, there's a ton of it. He's missed 25 games in his six-year career. He had the ACL tear in 2020, I believe. So he has been banged up a lot, and the durability questions led the Giants to believe that he isn't worth what he's asking for. But obviously the Giants relied on him a ton, and they ran him into the ground, quote-unquote. So I think when he's going to come to this Eagles, he's not going to be the number one option per se on offense. He's going to be a complement to AJ and to Jalen Hurts and to Devontae Smith, and he's going to be asked, you know, to carry the ball when the time is right. And how many games did we play in the rain last year when we thought that they were going to run the ball? Those are going to be Saquon games. And I think this just takes this Eagles offense. This is a very good step to rectifying the issues that were prominent last year. Combined with Kellen Moore, Kellen is going to use the hell out of Saquon. People are like, oh, Kellen doesn't run the ball. But mind you, Zeke was getting like 70 targets in those seasons that Kellen Moore was there. So Saquon is going to be used early and often in the passing game, and I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, that's a lazy narrative with Kellen Moore. I'm pretty sure the Cowboys or Zeke was like top five, or they were top six rushing offense.
Yeah. They used them all over the place. Yeah, they used them.
Dumb.
Used
not
them
to mention you place. Factor that in with the passing attack that they had too. You know, and that exactly, that's a good exactly. point. I think you had made. You feel optimistic about Saquon coming in here. Like the thing that makes this so first of all, it made perfect sense for the Giants to let him walk because, like, again, Saquon. His talents at this point in his career should be utilized on a team that can be contending. And obviously, exactly. you know, he's getting paid top dollar because he's top running back in the NFL. And the thing that makes this so great is that he can be the bell cow, but he doesn't have to be, in my opinion. What I mean by that is I'm not saying that they're going to have a running back rotation, but what I'm saying is there's going to be some games where this passing attack is just lighting people up. Maybe it's Devontae Smith carving him up. Come on, man. We got two number one wide receivers. You bring in this new coordinator to finally utilize Dallas Goedert correctly because we feel like he's always leaving crumbs on the plate. There's always food left on the plate with him, we feel like.
That meat on the bone. And meat on the bone. So much.
Yeah, you know, so.
Dallas Goedert has to stay healthy, number one, if he wants that 1K season that he's been striving for. He got to stay healthy.
Yeah, so I just feel like, and I think in the first half of games, Saquon will be utilized a lot in the passing game. If it's pass protection, I'm really interested to see what Kellen Moore, how he utilizes him in the passing game. So I think that's what they'll do. I mean, this is how the Eagles do it. They try to throw to build up the lead, attack the defense, and then run the clock out in the second half. And, well, Saquon will have fresh legs in the second half because I just don't see them. There may be some Sundays where it's like, hey, we got to ride Saquon. You know, the passing attack is stalling. Maybe we can gash these guys in the run game. Read option with Jalen Hurts. I mean, my God, I don't know, man. Option. I don't know how you stop these guys.
With what you assume is going to be a healthy Jalen Hurts, that option is going to be ridiculous. My goodness. And we talked about earlier this offseason about the Eagles finally being under center. Hey, if we get that with Saquon, it's going to be crazy. Now, Giants fans are quick to tell you about his 3.9 yards per carry average last season. Again,
nice offensive line.
Future offensive line. Nice offensive
line. I mean,
come on.
What's his name averaged like, which was it? Smallwood had like a half decent yards per carry average that 1 year. Like, come on, man.
Josh Adams. We were running Josh Adams.
He was running four
yards per carry. It was crazy. One more element of Saquon Barkley that we'll talk about before we move on. We don't want to make this an entire Saquon episode, as excited as we are. But pass blocking. Swift wasn't the greatest pass blocker, which is why Kenneth Gainwell was in for a lot of those snaps because they needed to protect Jalen Hurts, who was hurt himself. This is via Shane Half NFL on Twitter. He provided these stats. Credit to him. Among the 50 running backs with 40-plus pass blocking snaps, Saquon Barkley ranked third in the NFL with a 76.6 PFF grade. He allowed just 2 sacks and 6 total pressures on 100 pass blocking snaps last season. DeAndre Swift ranked 33rd with a 48.9 pass block grade and allowed 1 sack on 5 pressures on 47 pass blocking snaps. Kenneth Gainwell ranked 34th in the NFL with a 47.2 pass block grade and allowed 1 sack on 11 pressures on 71 pass blocking snaps. So Saquon is a very good upgrade. He's ranked 6th in back-to-back years as far as pass blocking running backs go via PFF, you know, for those of you that like those stats. Those are very intriguing stats that you need because you definitely want to keep Jalen Hurts upright. We saw last season he's not the same when he's banged up, whether it's his knee or his thumb, whatever the case is. The longer you can keep Jalen Hurts upright, the more success you're going to have. That's, you know, that's not rocket science. So Saquon Barkley and him, how much is he squatting? 600 pounds. If those two are back there, you know, and Saquon Barkley can help with protecting Jalen Hurts, that is another element that factored into this contract as well. He can not only be an offensive force for us, but he can help us keep our franchise quarterback healthy. And I think that was also taken into consideration here.
Yeah, and I think it's also worth mentioning, like, obviously, you know, the main thing we touched on as soon as the season ended was they got to get younger, they got to get much better, add a lot more talent on the defensive side of the ball. And, well, they have the rest of free agency to do that. We're going to touch on these other signings, but obviously the draft is going to be huge. And, as always, don't rule out trades with Howie Roseman. But
especially on draft day. Hearing a lot of draft day stuff could be happening.
Ooh. Okay, well, Before we shift into that, I just wanted to say one final thing about the Saquon thing. You know what this is? Mm-hmm. I really like, this is Howie Roseman acknowledging the fact that the strong suit of the team is the offense. And we can sit here and argue all day about
how you win a Super Bowl.
We can sit here all day and argue about how you win a Super Bowl. Like, you know, you need the quarterback, you need this, or wait, can you win a Super Bowl with a strong defense? This team is not going to get back to the Super Bowl by having the defense be it would be great if it was the strong suit of the team, but, I mean, it doesn't take a genius to look at this team, even without Saquon, and admit, hey, the offense is the strong suit of the team. They got we got to see how Kellen Moore calls it. I'm confident in him, but Howie said, you know what? That's my offense. I'm going to add to it, because as much as I want to try and make a difference this offseason to fix the defense, we got Fangio in here. This team will go as far as Jalen Hurts and the offense can take them, and, well, just added another horse to it. You know what I mean?
And they took them pretty far in the Super Bowl, and the defense couldn't stop them. So, I mean, the adage that defense wins championships, I think is true. But you don't only need defense, and obviously, Howie Roseman feels that adding Saquon to the mix is going to get this offense back into Super Bowl contention. This season really put a sour taste in a lot of people's mouths, including Howie Roseman. And people are talking about the financial aspect of the deal. I'm not too concerned about it, because we are now 3 years removed from the Eagles eating the biggest dead cap hit in league history. At the time, you know, Russell Wilson has something to say about that now with his $80 million cap hit, which is wild. But he's now with the Steelers on a $1 million contract because Denver's paying him all that money. But whatever the situation is, if the Eagles have to get out of the contract, so be it. Howie will make the numbers work. But again, this doesn't work out. Don't bank on Howie paying another running back. This is like Howie's last stand with running backs. He went 10. It took 10 years for him to do it.
Hey, it's a hell of a final straw, if you want to call it that, though.
10 years. All we need now is for him to draft a linebacker first round, and hell will be literally frozen. There'll be a blizzard in that bitch if he drafts a running back in the first round.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
So a lot of fans talk about defense. What about the defense? We still can't stop anybody. The Eagles made an addition along the edge. They signed former Jets pass rusher Bryce Huff, who led the team in sacks last season.
No, it's worth noting that this was the first signing, by the way, of free agency.
Before Saquon, this was the first signing, correct.
Yeah, we kind of, sorry, we went glossed in over, first order.
Obviously, because Saquon is the big blockbuster here. But Bryce Huff is nothing to scoff at either. He signed for 3 years, $51.1 million. To come over from the New York Jets. And this is very similar to the Hassan Reddick deal a couple years back. Bryce Huff is a rising pass rusher, one of the top ones, 10 sacks last season. We saw him get two of them, I believe, against Jalen Hurts and the Eagles in that game, so we're familiar with what he provides. And this is a guy who is likely going to outplay his contract in 2 years and look for a bigger payday. But this is the mold now with pass rushers. And with this deal, it is likely that either one, if not both, of Hassan Reddick and Josh Sweat are going to be at the door. I'm hearing that Josh Sweat, the Eagles are actively looking to trade him currently. I believe Josh Sweat commented on, I think, a fan page's Instagram or something.
I was just going to bring that up.
I'm going to miss you all or something like that. You can go into that in a second. But Josh Sweat is anticipating not being here. It looks like that Sweat will not be here with the addition of Bryce Huff. So, Steven, you wrote up this article for the Liberty Line yesterday. What are your thoughts on him? What does he bring Is he a better decision at this juncture than Ol Joshua and or Hassan Reddick? Where are you at with Bryce Huff coming into this defense?
Yeah, so you could argue who's the best pass rusher available in free agency, if not one of them. He's coming off of a very hot season. He's been utilized in a very small role with the Jets. So there's some concern there. You know, it seems like he's had like that outlier season, but he's young, he's 25, and like you said, there's the belief that maybe, you know, we're paying him now, and maybe a couple years down the line, after he comes here, plays alongside that defensive line here in Philadelphia, is utilized to his strengths. By the way, maybe utilized, I'd imagine, if you're paying him this money, he's going to be utilized in a larger role. Maybe he produces more. And it's funny, actually. Yeah, I see the Reddit comparison. Maybe he never... It's almost unfair because Reddick has been among the best edge rushers in the NFL. But you know what? Bryce Huff's numbers last year were among the best in the NFL and a limited dosage for what it's worth. But I actually think it's kind of similar to Josh Sweat. Josh Sweat, I believe, was a seventh round pick, correct? Or sixth round pick?
Josh Sweat was fourth round pick. Fourth round, yes.
I think it's similar to him, actually, because Sweat... I don't know if you remember, like, he kept showing signs that he was a good player. He had a limited role here in Philly too, and then he kind of
had like knee injuries. There were questions if he was an every down player, similarly to Bryce.
But he got paid, and then he got inserted into a larger role. And like last year, he had a pretty good year, or I should say, mm-hmm. 2 years ago, he had a really good year.
Not last
fell,
year,
kind of fell off last ago. Year. Everybody fell off last year, but it's actually similar to me to the Sweat situation as well. And you know what? You know, I understand the concern. There's people that are like, well, I mean, he only had one. It's, you know, he's kind of paying this guy a lot of money. But you know what? I remember people did this with Hassan Reddick, and we were concerned, like, is he even an edge rusher? What is this guy? Well,
he's younger than Reddick was when we signed him.
And this is the thing. I will always fall back to this. I trust Howie Roseman. I trust him because he's done this time and time again. He did it with Brandon Brooks. I mean, I mentioned the edge rushers literally that he's done it with. So he has experience doing that. And the final thing I'll say is this. I feel really good about the fact that, again, he's not a veteran guy, but he's been in the NFL, and you might be catching him at the right time as he's entering his prime. And I feel really good about that entering the draft then, because then it's kind of like a sigh of relief because they still have other holes. I'm not saying I wouldn't rule them out drafting an edge rusher, honestly, high in this draft.
Oh, neither would I. Not at all.
But there is just a sense of relief there, in my opinion, that you locked this guy up and you have him. And he's 25. If you do end up going in there and drafting an unproven player at the end of the day, because as we've seen, you know, I mean, you feel great about what Jalen Carter did in his rookie year, but he kind of disappeared. Kind of disappeared towards the end. Jordan Davis has been in the NFL for a couple years, and we feel like he hasn't, I don't want to say lived up to his hype, but it's been, you know, it's taken some time for him to adjust to the next level. So you can't always, you know, bank on the draft. And that's why I feel really good about this signing, which was the first signing in free agency. You know, as much as Howie Roseman has changed his ways, my God, he's changed his ways paying a running back. We touched on it the first 30 minutes of the show.
The trench is getting addressed.
Sometimes, man, you always fall back on what you do best. And he went and signed an edge rusher with his first free agent. I mean, he beat everybody to it, paid him. I mean, for people saying Bryce Huff is overpaid or whatever, that was his projected pay, by the way, was like $50 million
total. Yeah, I don't see too many people saying that. I think it's just like the thing that people have to remember with these contracts, even in free agency in general, is that teams are paying players, especially at this age, for what they will do, not what they have done. They're paying them based on potential and their ceiling, and they're assuming that Bryce Huff is going to, you know, be worth the contract. They're not paying him based on his production. A lot of people, when these guys get paid, they'll run to the Pro Football Reference, PFF, look up the stats. Oh, he's only done this. Why is he getting this much money? They're banking on his potential. They're paying him for what he will do for the team in the future, not so much what they've already done for other teams. So that's always something I try to keep in mind when I see these kind of contracts. Bryce Huff with the Jets in 2023, Stephen, you included this in yesterday's article, 67 pressures on 334 pass rushing snaps. He had an 86.8 pass rush grade, which is highest on the Jets, 10 sacks, 21 QB hits, second highest pressure rate in the entire NFL. But to your point, he only played 42% of the defensive snaps for that rotation last season. So the questions, every down, what does he do? Is he, you know, first down, second down, third down, all those things are going to be here for for Vic Fangio, Clint Hurt, the defensive line coach, to figure out, and all those things. So very excited to see what Bryce Huff did. Rough day for New York football fans, losing two players to the Eagles, and it was nearly a third.
Yeah,
because this safety market, the safety developments were interesting because the Eagles were very, very, very 98% there to signing Xavier McKinney yesterday, and me getting the info, I did assume, don't, if you're like an aspiring reporter or Twitter personality or whatever it is, don't do what I did yesterday. I feel like once a year I have some kind of slip up. It was like Tyrann Mathieu a couple years ago, and this year I was certain that this deal was done with Xavier McKinney. I tweeted it, it's done, and then I get a response saying, wait, not done yet, Packers are swooping in, Packers, you know, are forking over money, whatever the case is, hurry up and deleted it. But you know how Twitter is, screenshots live forever, you get thrown into the fire. Oh, this fake sources, all this stuff gets said about you. But the Eagles are right there. They were so close that they were that Xavier McKinney was listed as a Philadelphia Eagle on SpotTrack yesterday. The contract was there, already getting ready to be loaded into the platform. And then the Packers came in, they paid Xavier McKinney $25 million in the first year of that contract. They gave him $17 million a year. And of course, Xavier McKinney couldn't say no to that. Signed with the Packers, Eagles are now back on the market looking for a safety. So for those of you that have my Twitter notifications on throughout this whole thing and saw that, my apologies, thought it was done. Packers came in with more money late, screwed it all up, and now he is a Packer. But the Eagles are still remaining aggressive as far as safeties are concerned. They are in talks with C.J. Gardner-Johnson. It sounds like that they patched things up. They both admitted their wrongs. Whatever the case is, Steve and I heard that they kind of patched it up at the combine. The two sides talked, and they'll see what they can work out. Justin Simmons is still available. People have their, you know, reservations about Simmons because of his age, but he's still very, very productive. Nobody's had more interceptions than Justin Simmons in the NFL since 2020. We'll see what they do there. And also Cameron Curl still available. He's a younger option, so there are some guys still available at safety, but they're going to sign a guy. I think that's the one kind of like prolific signing, with the one significant signing they still need to address, and then they can kind of pivot to the draft. I don't think they look to the draft for safety. You still have young guys, Sidney Brown, who's coming off injury, ACL tear, and Reed Blankenship. You have young guys. You need to get a proven commodity on the back end of that deal. I still think they are going to get some kind of deal within the coming days with one of the safeties.
Especially one that fits Vangio's scheme, and as I'd imagine, he'd want somebody, like you said, with experience. And you know what? Let's just rewrite all of our wrongs of last offseason. We already did that with bringing Fangio in here because he should have been the defensive coordinator. And you know what? Chauncey Gardner-Johnson should have been an Eagle. He should have never left. And it's funny, I remember entering this offseason, everybody's like, oh, why would Chauncey come back here? There's bad blood. Oh, you're right. They rectified the issue, apparently, at the combine or whatever it was. And you know what? Come back home, Chauncey. The secondary needs swagger. I swear, if there is anything that they do, they need some juice back there.
My God, you brought this up yesterday.
Do you think if Chauncey Gardner-Johnson was on this team, I know it's a regular season game, but those goddamn 49ers players who chest bumped James Bradbury before the game, I know he's trash. I know he sucks, but damn it, he's your teammate, and you guys do nothing about it. I bet you Chauncey would have been the first person in that scuffle. You can sit here and tell me that stuff doesn't matter. That's off the field distractions. Really? That stuff doesn't matter? What the hell happened in this locker room last season? Everybody's talking about
it. Recovered from that moment. Never recovered from that moment. That game when Swimmer Swift cracked over the middle, like, that was just a massacre. And the Eagles, like, spirit never recovered from that game. And I think, like, I'm not saying CJ's like a gonna run up in there and like fight everybody. Like, I'm not saying he's some, like, you know, guy who's gonna, you know, round up the locker room, whatever the case may be. But I think that his energy was missed.
Go ahead.
I'm saying the Eagles have acknowledged that his energy was missed, which is why he's being targeted this time around. Yeah, go ahead.
And he's another player. He's 26. I feel a lot of people are bringing up Justin Simmons. We can sit here and argue who the better player is, but like I said, Chauncey's been here before. He's younger. I like that too. The youth has been the theme with this team. You know, it helps when Jason Kelce retires, Fletcher Cox retires. The average age of the team certainly goes down, and now you're bringing in, you know, young players in free agency. But I mentioned, you know, they need some juice in the secondary. The other thing is, like Chauncey, I don't even think I would say he's like a top five safety in the league. He was so great for us because of the scheme. And the thing with him is he's very good.
He fits what the Eagles need.
Yes, he's a great zone safety. He can do a lot of different things. And he was always, the thing with him, he was always in the right place at the right time. That's what do you have, 7 interceptions on the season?
6 for the Eagles, tied for the league lead. Yep. And he had another one of those tip balls last year in the playoffs for the Lions when he came back from injury.
I mean, that's just like, it can change a game, can change a season, honestly. Mm-hmm. I mean, as we saw, it
takes one turnover to flip a script.
The pass rush for this team was never just not even remotely close to what it was the year prior, and I feel like we didn't force the turnovers that we forced the season before. That was a big part, you know, of our success.
A lot of people
you want to give the ball back to Jalen Hurts and Saquon Barkley. Give them the ball
exactly,
back.
Exactly. Now people are saying, "Oh, CJ was just like, you know, tip balls, like he was a product of the defense." I know, he was always in the right place at the right time. Nobody was in the right place at the right time last year.
So No.
I will take those interceptions. No.
Come on, man.
So I will take them. And he fits Fangio, you know, in that too high shell. He already has experience, obviously, with some of these players. And the Eagles, Slay is going to be here another year, we assume, while they look to corners in the draft and look to develop Kelee Ringo. And,
he's just a very solid player, even at this age.
I think he's just solid. He's sound. He has good high IQ, and he has the energy that they were missing. He would come in here and eject some energy because we didn't see a lot of it last season, especially down the stretch.
Doesn't it just seem like a low-risk, like high-reward type of signing, especially with how bad the safety room is?
I think if you get him into a multi-year deal, it rights a lot of the wrongs from last season. Benefits both sides for, you know, you have some safety stability back there.
Yeah, like he's CJ not going to get paid $17 million a year.
Oh, hell no. Oh, my God.
You see what I'm saying? Like, they wouldn't even pay him, what was it, $8 million or whatever it was?
$8 million, yeah. Detroit gave him $8 million, which means that, I forget what the numbers were that the Eagles initially offered him in the first multi-year deal. But Chauncey obviously scoffed at it and you know, went to Detroit.
Hey, he's the wrongs of that, too. He does deserve more. He does. He got screwed.
He deserves more than $8 million, yeah. He'll get north of 10, so we'll see. We'll see how that all ends up. But I think it just, you know, it's a good redemption thing. You know, everybody comes back full circle. You mend your, you know, water under the bridge. Let's get to work. I think that would be good for them. Obviously, we're recording this at 12:10 p.m. on what's today? Tuesday.
Today's Tuesday,
so if anything
March
happens 12th. While we're recording / editing, then all of this is gone.
Yeah.
As of this moment, that would be a good signing. Cameron Curl still there, former Commander safety. Justin Simmons is out there, and some other names. So we will keep an eye on what the Eagles do at safety, but we do expect a move there relatively soon. Steven, we didn't talk about one of the re-signings that was actually the first before anything happened yesterday. Landon Dickerson became the highest paid guard in league history. The Eagles and Pro Bowl guard, this is per Ian Rappaport, the Eagles and Pro Bowl guard Landon Dickerson have agreed to terms on a 4-year extension worth $84 million base salary, $87 million max of value, source said. He gets $50 million total guaranteed and a $20 million signing bonus, the NFL's highest paying guard in history at $21 million per year. Well deserved. I was upset when we drafted him because I wanted Asante Samuel Jr., but he became a Pro Bowler, solidified that left guard spot. You still have Pro Bowlers all over this offensive line with Lane Johnson, Jordan Mailata, now Landon Dickerson, Cam Jurgens slides in there. We'll see what they do with Tyler Steen or what have you. They signed Matt Hennessy today, former Temple guy. That'll give you some guard depth. But good on Landon Dickerson, you know, with Kelsey leaving, you solidified another spot in Landon. Make sure he's not going anywhere for the foreseeable future. I have no qualms about this deal that the Eagles gave him, Steven.
Yeah, I mean, we expected it. Has this turned out to be a good pick. I remember when he was selected at the time, it was in the second round, and we were concerned about, you know,
I was asleep. I was asleep when it happened, and I woke up because who was the first pick? It was Devontae, right? Devontae was the first pick in that draft. And I remember the next day I was asleep, and I woke up and see the Dickerson stuff, and I was like, well.
I was actually at a Sixers game at the time. I think it was Sixers versus Hawks, I think. It was a regular season game that I was at. So
I had JOK circled, the linebacker who's now with Cleveland. I had Asante Samuel Jr., all these flashy names, and it was Landon Dickerson. And I was like, well, leave it to Howie to get some random offensive lineman that obviously played for Alabama who's coming off injuries. Oh, well, here we go. And it turned out to be an amazing pick. This is why we're not in front office position, Steven. This is why we don't make these decisions. But very happy with the deal here. Dickerson's has been a very integral piece of this offensive line the last few seasons. So, nothing much to say about this deal. Good to see it. I will say, though, this means that Devontae's extension, I haven't heard anything about it, but Devontae's extension, very close. Very close. You assume he's the next one of the Eagles, you know, original roster to be extended here. He will get paid, and it will be a lot. So brace yourself for those things as far as Devontae Smith and that extension is concerned. The last move that the Eagles made, did you have anything else on Landon? Not much really to say. Did you have anything?
No. I mean, it only made sense. We all expected it to happen. And like you said, Smitty is the next one. I mean, it only helps the team, I feel like, when you extend him, you know? I don't see...
It created an additional $3 million in cap space. So, all good all around.
I think he could quickly become... I get the sense he's so young. That's the thing. Like, there's so many personalities and a lot of talent in this locker room. Like, I could see him becoming a quiet... He's like a quiet fan favorite. He's not like the most outspoken guy. He seems to just be like a happy-go-lucky guy.
I don't think I've ever heard him speak.
Yeah, see what I mean? But everybody seems to like him. He's always got like goofy outfits on. I mean, I was looking back. He has so many pictures. He seemed to walk into like every single game with Jason Kelce. So clearly...
Yeah, they were close.
I mean, when you're lined up right next to each other, I get it. But hey.
No choice. In 1,045 pass blocking... In 1,045 offensive snaps last year... Landon Dickerson allowed just 3 sacks, so good.
You got to call this. Hey, we go back to the QB factory. I mean, look, we're not a running back factory now, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, I don't think you can argue that. But also, we're an offensive line factory. I mean, come on, how many guys have we drafted? Undrafted guys, guys we've converted from another sport, turning into one of the best players at his position. Come on,
it's because Stoutland's still here, and he will remain in place for as long offensive as line he wants to coach. Offensive line, you, Landon, is a 2-time Pro Bowler, so. I'm very happy to see him get extended. Devontae, you're next, my friend. So get ready for a big paycheck. Come back, that first direct deposit is coming your way. The last move the Eagles made yesterday, not as flashy, but another addition to the defense. They signed former third-round linebacker Zach Bond. Ironically enough, Zach Bond was the guy I was crying for when we took Jalen Hurts instead. I was like, we have Zach Bond.
I remember this. On the board. I thought the name
all these guys
familiar.
On the board. Yeah, no, yeah. It was a guy, when we drafted Jalen Hurts, I like made this whole like dramatic video, and I was like, there's Denzel Mims, there's Zach Bond, we could have got these guys, and instead we got Jalen Hurts. Funny, you know, revisionist history. Zach Bond is 27 years old, was a third-round pick in that 2020 draft. The Saints didn't really know how to use him. Like, they kind of used him off-ball. They used him as an edge. He played at edge in Wisconsin his senior year, racked up like 12.5 sacks. Last season with New Orleans, 30 tackles, 15 pressures, 11 hurries, and 2 sacks and 303 defensive snaps. They had him kind of lined up per PFF. The Saints had him lined up in 466 of his career snaps along defensive line, 170 snaps inside the box. So, Steven, it seems like his best role or his most useful role is a situational edge rusher. We talked off camera yesterday about Chris Long. Like, he was such a, how do we fill that role? Looks like Zach Bond could potentially be that. 27 years old, played the entirety of his rookie contract with the Saints, now comes here for cheap. We'll see what the Eagles do with them. They're definitely gearing up for some departures. You know, when Josh Sweat leaves, they're getting the edge together now and preparing for some departures. He's a good special teams contributor as well.
Yeah.
Good on special teams. So
perhaps I saw a lot of stuff out there. Some people felt like he was not utilized correctly. Like some
Saints didn't know what to do with him. Really,
he's more of a pass rusher, correct? That's like his talent.
Yeah, yep, that's his talent. Yeah, he got 12.5 sacks at Wisconsin, so he knows how to rush the passer. The Saints just never used him to do.
Well, so that's where this whole thing is very interesting. And you scheme is everything, guys. So like a lot of people assume Fangio is going to run a 3-4. By the way, because the Eagles were deploying a 4-3. So with that, you're going to have a lot of these like outside linebacker guys that are really just like edge rushers, really, or maybe pass rusher is more the word that you want to use. And this guy fits the mold of that archetype, that type of player that you're looking at. And man, it'll be really, I mean, again, there's free agency in the draft and trades, but I think this is a sign that you're going to see that. And obviously a sign that Josh Sweat, like you said, could be on the way out of here. I mean, we saw the stuff.
I'm fully expecting him to be traded within the week.
Who, by the way, doesn't
or if
really
not draft day at the very latest draft day.
Yeah, so he may have a scheme fit issue himself anyway, Josh Sweat. So unfortunately, but yeah, just one of those players.
Good depth signing. Good depth signing. I'll say this: if they bring back Reddick, somehow figure out the money. Bring back Reddick. You have Reddick, Bryce Huff, Nolan Smith, and Zach Bond.
You keep forgetting.
Yeah, and I think that's a good four-man edge rotation there. And Brandon Graham back, he's on his farewell
tour
next
season.
That's the key
right there. That's a good five-man. That's the key right there is rotation. And the thing that I feel optimistic about all this is, I think Fangio's, I mean, obviously we've been running like versions of it. So we'll say this until the sun comes
down. Two guys now, Gannon and DeSantis.
Yeah, like he's going to run his system, obviously. But at the same time, you want to utilize, you know, the players that you do have to their strengths. And I think like Jordan Davis will really be able to be that true like nose gap type of guy. Mm-hmm. Jalen Carter being in the interior as well. But the thing is, like, I look at a guy like Nolan Smith, if you want to say Bryce Huff, and even like Hassan Reddick, I don't think we would look at him as like one of the biggest guys. Like even for an edge rusher, I wouldn't say he's like one of the biggest guys. Like these are speedy edge rusher type of guys.
These are undersized speed rushers, all of them.
Yeah.
Nolan Smith, Bryce Huff, they're all undersized speed guys.
So I think like they'll be able to really play to the strengths there, especially in the scheme. I mean, clearly, I mean, even the guy they just signed, the depth signing that they just picked up, that's, they're playing their strengths. It's going to be speed around the edge and just bulk and meat up the middle. You know what
I'm
saying?
Bull rush the middle and get them guys there in 4 seconds. Got to get those guys there in 4 seconds or less. So that's definitely a good point. We're going to see a lot of Jalen Carter, Jordan Davis now that Fletcher Cox has retired. And I feel bad for doing this at the end of the episode because he's had such an amazing career. But we have yet to talk about Fletcher Cox retired
from
the NFL after 12 seasons. We haven't done a pod since then, I believe. Fletcher Cox calling it a career, we knew this was coming. I think he, along with Jason Kelce, both informed teammates after the season that they were retiring. Fletcher Cox just decided to wait until now, let Jason Kelce have his time. But calling it a career after 12 seasons with the Eagles and announced it on Twitter, social media.
It's insane, the whole man. Bit.
And it's, yep, another end of an amazing era, amazing tenure with the team.
Hall of Famers in one offseason, correct?
Oh, at least, you know, for sure. Jason Kelce's first ballot Hall of Fame. Fletcher Cox will certainly get in there. Both guys will go down as Eagles all-time greats.
Yep.
And I think something that is quite understated was his durability. You know, he was always a limited participant in practice, but that never meant he was missing a game. He only missed 8 games, I believe, if I have it counted correctly. He only missed 8 games throughout his 12 years. You know how hard that is to find in the NFL, especially at the defensive tackle, especially in the trenches. Those guys get banged up day in and day out. And I know in his last few years, you know, he's used more rotational and they watch his snap count. But he was always available and you could count on him.
He had a positive impact last year.
And always had a positive impact.
You'd think he was going to just completely fall off.
This is why Saquon signing is such a big deal. Even from a character standpoint, it's a big deal because he's such a good locker room leader.
Good point.
And they're going to need to you know, fill the voids left by Kelce and Fletcher Cox. But man, Cox in his career with the Eagles, 70 sacks, 173 QB hits, 88 tackles for loss, 16 forced fumbles, made the Pro Bowl 6 times. He was a one-time first-team All-Pro, obviously Super Bowl champion. And a member of that Hall of Fame All 2010s team, along with Sean McCoy, is a member of that team too.
Wild.
Cox
is
ranked
third
in Eagles history in games played and fifth in team history in total sacks. That is most for among defensive tackles in league history. 70 sacks leads all Eagles defensive tackles. So an incredible career. Can't say enough great things about Fletcher Cox. He will be missed. That presence, knowing that he'll always be there. He always produced. Was always durable. Always can be counted on. Always, you know, said what was on his mind for sure. You know, and his last great act as an Eagle was, I believe, coming at Debo on Instagram. So
yeah, I love it.
He will always be remembered. There was always like, you know, the threats of him going
to
the
topic,
jet.
But Saquon quickly, you know, made himself a part of Philadelphia. He went at Tiki Barber as he should. Defending himself.
Tiki's like, I also think that I see people bringing up like Tiki's like, oh, he like cheated on your like 8-month pregnant wife and all this stuff. I have it. It's not great, obviously, but I always think that like when media guys are like saying these things, I always find it strange if people bring up like your personal life. Like he's just, you know, he's doing media, he's playing it up for the media, and I understand you're driving clicks and doing all that, and we can get upset as a sports fan about what you're saying, but I kind of wish they would like keep it to sports. Like bringing up his personal life, like that's kind of uncalled for, if that's true about the off-the-field stuff with him,
I mean,
it's terrible. It's terrible. I'm not saying
it's pretty relevant when you're literally calling out a football. That's the thing. Saquon.
Yeah, if you're questioning people's character, I guess you're right. Yeah.
He gave everything he had to that organization, and I saw somewhere somebody literally compared pretty much that. Such a good comparison. They pretty much said Saquon Barkley was getting it was a paid internship with the Giants with how little he was the best. He was the best player at his position for how many years? You would argue, if not one of them. And now, like, he finally the hardest position in sports, maybe we would say, to get paid and have a long career for that matter. We would argue, like,
yeah, it is good. It is. make my heart warm to see like these guys get paid this year. Tony Pollard, you know, getting $8 million a year. Austin Eckler gets money from the Commanders. Like, and Joe Mixon just got traded to the Texans. The Texans find their running back after missing out on Barkley. So it's good to see these guys get paid after they had the whole like Zoom call last year and did the whole bit, started the movement to get paid, and Barkley rightfully gets paid here. And it's fun to see. So yeah, but Saquon coming at Tiki, funny stuff. Fletcher Cox is always known for saying what was on his mind. He and BG are always trash talking together, and we're gonna miss the big man. Now it's gonna be Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter to man.
I was just gonna say, boy, is it the changing of the guard now?
Is it time, man? You alluded to Jordan Davis having a slow start in his career. We're gonna need it next year, man. We're gonna need you. We have Milton Williams, who I think is a stout defensive tackle. I think he's amazing on tape, Milton Williams. So we're gonna see good stuff from him next year. So those three guys are going to be looked at to fill in those shoes for Fletcher Cox. But saying goodbye to two greats this offseason with Jason Kelce. Although Jason Kelce might be like, hey, I'll block for Saquon. No, he's probably done. He's done. It's over. But yeah.
How much was the Fletcher making last year?
Oh, he got a one-year, like, $10 million deal. They kept giving him pretty good deals to stick
with.
Yeah,
I
would have too. Again, good on him. I brought up Jason Peters with the Jason Kelce thing. Good on you for going out like kind of on your high horse. You know, you don't want to keep hanging around while you're not producing. It just looks like you're shaking a bag. Maybe Jason Peters has like gambling issues or something. Like, I understand, get the bag, but man, you gotta hang it up. He's never announced his retirement, right? Like, he's still in the league.
I don't even know. That whole thing. I mean, the thing with Fletcher Cox is you could argue in an era where Aaron Donald existed in the NFL, who's arguably the best defensive tackle to ever play. Like, Fletcher Cox
always in the conversation.
Always in the conversation, man.
Always in the conversation.
I'm not sure who else you would put second. I mean, how long has Chris Jones been doing his thing?
Yeah, that's a good point.
But I feel like
it was always Fletcher Cox, Aaron Jones. Yeah, always Fletcher Cox and Aaron Donald. Yeah, that's a very good point. A point I didn't even think about. One of the all-time greats in franchise history, drafted in 2012. Played the entirety of his career with the Eagles. You always get extra points for that. So good on you, Fletcher.
Jordan
Cox.
Davis
Congrats.
Couldn't say enough good things about him. You mentioned earlier.
Oh, of course not. Yeah.
I mean, he almost was in tears. Jordan Davis, again, another one of those guys. Are these guys, I mean, maybe they're young, but I think what it is, like, you got to think, like, all these players they drafted, Landon Dickerson, I mean, I could go down the list, Landon Dickerson, Jordan Davis, Jalen Carter, all these young guys coming in here, like, they're coming into an organization with Super Bowl aspirations, but also, when you look at the roster, all these veteran, outspoken guys, Brandon Graham, Jason Kelce, you mentioned Fletcher Cox, so it's, like, no wonder, like, you can't highlight every single player on the team, you know? It's truly a changing of the guard now. I mean, you know, both guys
are
trying. The
new generation is kind of reserved. Like, you know, soft-spoken guys.
Maybe they are just soft-spoken guys. Maybe that's what it is. Or they'll come into their own.
They're all from the South. They're all from the South. They don't talk a lot, you know. Unless you catch someone mic'd up or something.
Although Jalen Carter seems a little outspoken, you know?
A little bit. But he's been kind of laying low. Obviously, legal issues and all that stuff that he had going on. You don't want to say too much, so... Yeah, and all that. But these Southern guys, they don't speak a lot. Until we catch the Smitty mic'd ups, and those are hilarious. But they're probably guys that are funny to be around but don't say a whole lot. It's going to be interesting to see who steps up and kind of speaks to the media a lot next year and has these comments and all these things.
Well, so hey, for the people, hey, nobody.
Well, we know it's going to be Slay next year. Slay next year.
Hold up.
Slay's always outspoken.
For the people who want to know what the hell this guy's role is now, Nick Sirianni, man.
Oh, yeah, you're right. There you go. You got to whip that team into shape. You got to be the voice of the voiceless. That's you got to be.
It's a thing, guys. Like, it really
is
a thing.
It is. Players,
you can sit here and say whatever you want about the guy. You can make fun of how he talks in the press conferences and stuff like that. But you can't deny, like, the players like him, clearly.
Oh, yeah. Didn't he was ranked, like, he was graded an A by his players, in the National Players
Association. Yeah, I mean, come on, man.
Now, granted, that was immediately after the Chiefs win, so, you know, they weren't losing yet. So,
nobody's saying he's some, you know, X's and O's guru
also,
and all this stuff.
The,
like,
two most outspoken guys, I saw Brandon BLG from Bleeding Green say this on Twitter, the two most outspoken guys of Nick Sirianni both retired this season, so take that for what it's worth. Mm. Fletcher Cox and Jason Kelce both were the loudest about Nick Sirianni, then they retired. So you obviously don't want to cause a stir-up on the way out. So that is intrigued to see Jalen. What do we know about Jalen Saquon? Like, do they have any kind of relationship? I doubt it. They didn't really cross paths at all too much. So I'm intrigued to see you there.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they both fit.
Interesting that we got both players from that Penn State, Miles and Saquon now. Interesting that we got both them running backs.
I imagine Saquon's
Miles
number 26.
Backed up Saquon. I would assume so. He wore 21 at some point in his football career.
Oh, so did he?
I assume 26 is open. 26 is open. Saquon back, or Miles backed up Saquon all them years. And now
it's a shame, man, because I was such a big Swift guy. I'm not saying I'm hyped for this.
Oh,
signing.
I would have been
hyped for
Swift. I would have not complained. But yeah. I mean, I'm very excited for Saquon. It's like Swift on crack. It's funny we saw the Pokemon meme how Miles was Charmander, DeAndre Swift was Charmeleon, and now we have Charizard with Saquon Barkley. So I think we just evolved every year from Miles to Swift, and now we have the final form of Saquon, and we'll finally get to see what this offense looks like. Man, the film this offseason is gonna be amazing. Cannot wait to envision. I hope it works out, because this is the last, like I said, for the third time now, this is the last time Howie will pay a running back if this does not work out. So, but I don't see how it doesn't. Just too much talent. He's still young, 27, still has prime years ahead of him. Very excited to see to how all that shakes out. Any final words from you for free agency? I don't think we spoke about Avante Maddox, but obviously he was released. They're open to a reunion. Kevin Byard went to the Bears on a 2-year, $15 million deal. Got more money than I thought he would get, $7.5 million. Chauncey's definitely getting more than that. But Kevin Byard's
Bears
going
taking
to
all
Bears.
Of our guys. What's up with that?
Yeah, I know. They took Swift. They took Byard. I still think Byard's better than what he showed last year. Just rough go for everybody on defense. But he did look cooked. He looked like he couldn't tackle at times. But I think he's better than what he showed.
We were getting somewhere when he picked off Patrick Mahomes in the back of the end zone.
You did think that. We'll continue to keep our finger on the pulse
here.
NFL.
There's one thing.
Agency. Go ahead.
Obviously, we're sitting here hoping a free agent safety signing or whatever else they decide to do. But we talked about Josh Sweat this whole time. Is there any chance that they just hold on to him until like draft time to trade?
I doubt it.
To trade him.
Oh, yeah. At the very least, I thought you were saying, is there any chance he's here next year? No. But
I wasn't going to ask that.
Now, at the very latest, they'll trade him on draft day. I'm intrigued. I've seen this going around. I know nothing of this, but I've seen the Josh Sweat for the Jerry Sneed trade framework.
Oh, I was thinking something else for a second there. We're along those same lines.
What do you have in mind?
Little Patrick Surtain and Denver Broncos action.
Oh man, if they can pull that off, that'd be wild if they could do that.
We've been linked to him for how many years, right?
Yeah, and then now with Fangio and Christian Parker here, now anybody on the Broncos secondary is going to be linked here. But there's no shot to give up PS2. Like I don't think they do that. Simmons is already gone. You got to keep somebody respectable.
Would you do Sweat in our first this year?
For Surtain?
Mm-hmm.
I'll do Sweat in a second, happily. I'll do first. You got to hold on to that first. You got to get it. I don't know because Surtain is so good. You could talk me into it. You could probably talk me into it over time.
But then I guess the problem is, I guess whenever the deadline is to cut.
I would do a first straight up for Surtain. I don't know about Sweat and a first.
Like, whenever the deadline is to cut Bradbury, because if you do that, you'll have three corners making at the time. You'll have, yeah. I don't know how they do it.
I still think they do it after June 1st. Like, they got, there's no way he's here, despite what Howie says. Like, they gotta.
I don't know how much Surtain is making, but again, at the time, it would be like three corners making, what is it, 15 plus million per year? Because Slay makes however much.
Yeah,
I'd imagine Surtain makes a decent amount. I'd imagine. Let me see.
Patrick Surtain is still on his rookie contract.
My God.
I don't think he's gotten paid yet, so he's going to get paid. He's going to get paid a ton of money. You know, he's on a first round contract, so he's making like $5 million a year, but he hasn't gotten paid yet, but he will get paid handsomely when he does. And I don't think the Eagles are in any rush to be paying that money.
Only 24 years old, man.
Yeah, prime for the taking. If you're going to talk about paying corners, though, if you have to give up draft compensation and pay a corner, I would do it for Surtain before I do it for Sneed. So, like, if they can swing it, I haven't heard anything, out of that, but that's an intriguing, premise. I would do that in a heartbeat. We'll continue to stay locked in on free agency coverage here with the Eagles. Hopefully nothing happens while I'm editing this. If it does, we'll cover it on the next show. We'll see that. I think they still need another wide receiver 3. They'll figure that out. Safety is obviously the priority at the moment. But we will keep you guys informed all throughout the process, all the way up until the draft. You guys know what it is by now. New to the show, if you're new, thank you guys for checking it out. Be sure to subscribe on Apple, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, anywhere else you get your shows. Be sure to leave those reviews, rate 5 stars. We got a couple new ones in the last week. Thank you guys for doing that. Continue to do that so we can climb the charts of Eagles pods here in the U.S. You can find me on social media at The Philly Pod all throughout free agency. Find Steven at Real Steven Conrad Jr. Follow his other national content at The Daily Drip Show. We will catch you guys on the next episode of The Philly Pod. Saquon is an Eagle. Go Birds, baby.
driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.